Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 85th episode of my podcast, Confessions of an Actress. I'm your host, Meredith Patterson, and today it's just me, guys, because I have a lot to update you on. I know I took a little hiatus, and the reason for that is that I had some awesome opportunities come up, and now they've all gone away. Welcome to being an actress. It can happen or it cannot happen. So today's episode is to kind of update you guys on what's going on with me. I think the last episode was about my book, which is still out there. The hardcover is now available on Amazon. The link is in the bio. The link is in my bio of my Instagram account. If you don't follow me on there at Mayor Patterson, please do. I do a lot more posting on there than I do anywhere else. And you can get a lot of information. And I go live all the time. To talk about my book, and I'm going to be going live again this coming week. So, my book, just to start, I have had some incredible Broadway legends read my book, including Tony Walton, Sam Harris, Richard Ridge from Broadway World just read it and gave me an amazing review, and I am just so thankful. I'm going to be sharing those reviews on my Instagram as well. So the book is going well. It's a slow roll. Like I said, I'm going to be actually doing my Audible coming in December because I had a snag in my recording process and producing because I got an audition. And that's what most of this episode is going to be about, you guys, my audition. And the craziness of life as an actress, because I don't think people really understand what we do. And the kind of things that we do. Because if I was to tell you, if you're listening to this and you're not in the entertainment industry, you're going to be like, what the heck is this? And how do you do this? Well, this is what we do. So let me back up to the beginning. So I have a new manager. I have my wonderful agent. I love my manager, Rich. He's awesome. And he called me up and he said, Bernie Telsey's office, which is a huge casting director in New York, they cast a lot of things on Broadway and television. So Craig from Telsey called my manager and said, I'm wondering if Meredith would consider coming in for The Music Man on Broadway. And it would be the ensemble track to understudy Sutton Foster as Marion, which is the lead. Now, the reason why they said, I wonder if Meredith would consider this is because that's where I was 20 years ago. And I don't necessarily go in for ensemble, and I haven't gone in for ensemble on Broadway or anywhere else for 20 years. So that was the whole, I wonder if she would consider this. And of course, I get the call from my manager. I'm making beef stew, and I decided to go for a walk and talk to him about this. And my instant thought was, oh my God, how exciting. Because, you know, the business, it goes in waves. You're going in for leads. You're going in opposite Matt LeBlanc, which I know you guys have heard that story if you've listened to my podcast. You're going in for huge leads. And then all of a sudden, you're not. And all of a sudden, you're doing nothing. So I haven't been seen on Broadway in a long time. So also this show is going to be one of the biggest hits next season. It's going to literally be the show. And I love Sutton Foster. I think she is incredible. The first time I met her, I actually saw Millie and I said to her, and when she came out of the stage door, she wasn't speaking. And that was kind of the way that she was saving her voice. But I just looked at her, I shook her hand and I said, if you don't win the Tony, I'm quitting the business because you are going to win. And she smiled at me. It was kind of a weird thing for me to say, but I couldn't. I was just so in awe of her performance. So the idea of me being able to cover her and be on stage potentially with Hugh Jackman, dancing Warren Carlyle's amazing choreography, being around the beautiful music that Meredith Willson and, you know, just the show Music Man in general, I got so excited. But then I also thought, you know, my manager and I started talking about the business side of it. What does it look like? Because this is also stuff that actors have to think of. 20 years ago, when I, you know, went from the chorus to the lead on Broadway, I was asked then to, after I left the show, I was asked to actually cover Sutton Foster in Millie back then. So, and my manager at the time said, no, you're not going back. You're not going back to the chorus. You're not going back to understudying. You are a lead now. And this is what, this is where you are. So I had to turn that audition down. And I understand that. And the reason for that is because how you're perceived in the business and what you go in for gives casting directors, producers, directors, choreographers a vision of you, and they see you in a certain way. So once you've hit that threshold of I am a star on Broadway, you don't go backwards. You don't usually do that. It all depends on how your career is going, though. And so one of my immediate thoughts when I was asked about going in for Music Man was Beth Lovell. So Beth Lovell is an incredible Broadway actress. If you don't know who she is, she's won the Tony for Drowsy Chaperone. And she was in 42nd Street with me. That's when I first met her. And she was covering Christine Ebersole. She was what's called a backstage cover. So she was just waiting backstage if and when Christine got sick. And that's all she did. And she told me in a very candid conversation, you know, I wasn't getting any calls. And she was about my age. My, you know, I'm 45 years old and she was around that age back then. And she said, you know, sometimes you got to go back to go forward. And it's so true. So I immediately thought of her. And I had this whole conversation with my manager, who is incredible and a wonderful insight and perspective for me. And I didn't really feel like I didn't want to go back to the chorus. I really love theater. I love the environment of theater. I love being in a chorus of dancers and amazing dancers. So the only thing that was really, I was wondering about was if I put myself on tape, which is what they wanted me to do, which putting yourself on tape is videotaping you auditioning. If I did that here in Montana and it got emailed off to casting and the creative team and they said they wanted me to come to New York, how am I going to do this? And then it's a very fast process. So this isn't normally the way things happen, but they can happen sometimes. So I was to put myself on tape. They were going to look at it in a day or so. So I had like a day to prepare, which is not a long time. I had three sets of sides, which is a script. I read it with my husband, who's amazing. And I learned 16 bars of two songs and put that on tape and sent it off. That's what we do. We self-tape all the time. People do that all the time. They do it more so now than they ever have because of COVID. So that's great. So I did that and I did my best to forget about it. Well, the next day when everybody had seen my audition, I got a call that they would be honored to have me come to New York and audition in person. So of course my stomach is in knots. Of course I start to get anxiety because I think, how are we going to do this if I book this? And there was a part of me that was like, I don't know that I can leave my children for a year because potentially this show would be a year with no out, which means that you can't get out of your contract. And I would have to move to New York. And we just moved here last year. Again, all good problems to have, right? I know some of you who are actors are like, yeah, this is what you do. But to those of us who are not in the business, I would have to, my husband is going on tour with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra and he leaves in less than a week. He leaves November 4th. I would have probably, well, I'll get to how, what I would have had to have done. So they called me, and said, we want you to come in on Monday. Thankfully, I didn't have to miss both of my sons were in Seussical Junior here at the Alpine Theater Project, and I got to see them do their first musical together, which was amazing. and my son Billy was Jojo, and my son Maxwell was a Wickersham brother, and it was just a gorgeous, insanely amazing production. You can follow them on Instagram at Billy Van Braley and Maxwell Braley, and the Braley Boys is their Instagram channel. So I got to see that, and all the while I got to really prepare even more and be prepared to dance because I was going to go in for a dance call. I haven't been to New York in 6 years. I haven't been in a dance call for a Broadway show in at least 10. So I was nervous. I was, you know, I'm in shape. I feel like I'm, you know, in a good place. I'm vocally ready. I was, you know, I've never really stopped moving. I can't kind of stop moving. So dance wise, I'm ready. And I knew that it was not going to be, I didn't think it was going to be a kick your face, triple turn type of dance call because it's for Marion, but it's also for the chorus. So I wasn't really sure. So I was kind of nervous about that. Because at 45 years old, to dance like that is hard. But it's doable. So I make my plans to go to New York. My husband is here. He holds down the fort with the boys. I fly out. I wake up at 3:45 in the morning on a Monday. And I fly to New York. And I haven't been on a plane in 2.5 years. So I haven't been on a plane at all during this pandemic. And I haven't been to New York during the pandemic. So I was a little bit not concerned for myself because I'm double vaccinated. I got my booster shot and I had COVID. So I feel like I'm really protected, but I also, you know, of course, masked up the entire day that I was traveling on the flight. And I'm so proud of the federal mandate that we have to wear masks because I just feel like it's just so good for everybody. But I traveled, and it's a long travel day because there is no direct flights from Whitefish, Montana. I had to go to Salt Lake City and have a 2-hour layover, and then I had to go from there to New York. I got into New York not until 6 o'clock at night, and I had to get, you know, I forget what traffic is like. I really do because I've been in this rural town for a long time. So I flew into Newark and got in a cab and went midtown to a hotel that I was staying in, which was amazing that I was able to get a hotel for a couple nights. And, you know, it was very weird to me, but I got the chance to be by myself, to watch a movie on the plane. I haven't traveled by myself without my boys in a long time. So it was a joy. It was really strange to see the New York skyline as I was coming in, and it was very strange to be in New York City because every corner and every street and every avenue has memories for me, big memories, good memories, bad memories, and it just was bizarre. So I got to New York, I immediately went to my hotel room, and because I had been up 2 hours earlier, I'd been up since 3:45 in the morning, I quickly got myself something to eat and walked around a little bit, walked into Times Square because I was not too far away from Times Square, kind of took a deep breath of hello again, New York, and seeing people in masks in New York was very strange. But everybody, you know, there's this app called New York COVID Safe where you can't go into a restaurant without showing your ID and showing your vaccination. So I think that's amazing. And I'm so thankful to New York City for doing that. That's incredible. What an amazing thing. And I wish we all were doing that. But that's another subject altogether. But I went into the hotel, went into my room. It was so small. It was such a small hotel room, but it was mine. And I sat down on the bed, looked at my stuff, got all my tap shoes and character shoes and dress and dance clothes and everything out for the morning. Because the next morning I had a 10 a.m. dance call at Ripley Greer in New York and I needed to get my sleep and I started to feel really tired. And so I went to bed at around 8 o'clock at night, New York time. And I woke up at 6 a.m. the next day and just got the best sleep and just was ready. I woke up, I warmed up my voice. I just felt really, 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 really prepared and really ready. And I was doing all these mental things with myself that I've always done, which is, you know, try not to make this such a big deal. Go have fun. Think of it as a performance. Don't think of it as an audition. Think of it as a chance to perform for Tony Award-winning creative people in this industry. And I did. And I also, you know, my husband and I have been using this mantra, and I don't have it in front of me, so I might get it wrong, but it's on my Instagram. What is for me, you know, I do not chase, I attract. What is for me will not pass me by. And I really kept saying that as I was walking, because I didn't take the subway at all when I was in New York. I just walked. I walked from 36th Street, where my hotel was, to 55th Street, all along 8th Avenue. And all the while I'm walking, it's warming up my body, I'm warming up my voice, I am taking in the sights, I'm taking in the street corners that I have been on for 18 years when I lived in New York, and just telling myself, I do not chase, I attract. What is for me will not pass me. And I got excited about going in and dancing in a New York studio with New York dancers, with, you know, my friend Warren Carlyle, who I've known him since I was dancing with Stroh at Christmas Carol, Madison Square Garden, and to see Jerry Zaks again. I haven't seen him since I did a work session with him for a musical called The It Girl. And just to be in a dance studio with dancers. There's an electricity around that if you love what you do like I do. So I showed up and I immediately saw three girls that I know from White Christmas in the chorus. Caitlin Davidson, understudied me, who's an amazing, amazing triple threat. Stephanie Gibson, who I also know is an amazing triple threat. And Carrie Conti, who's also an amazing triple threat. And so we all were just, you know, we're all in masks and we're 6 feet away and we're all the things. But I was just like, oh my God, I get to dance in the room with you guys again. How great is this? And there were about, I would say about 12, 15 girls. And we're in Ripley Greer, which is the old Ripley Greer. It's more of an older dance studio. I think it's 939 8th Avenue. Between 55th and 56th streets. And I haven't been in that studio in a long time. And that's the studio, if you guys have read my book, that's the studio that I crashed Ginger, the show Ginger, where I met Randy Skinner. So I got really emotional. It makes me emotional even thinking about it right now. I was in the studio. I was dancing in the studio where I met Jay Binder for the first time, where I met Randy Skinner. I was in the studio that I crashed that audition that really changed my life, because in meeting Randy and Kelly Barkley and Jay Binder, that turned into my first Broadway musical. It's just so many things. So I was so excited to just be dancing in that studio. And we did. And we started to dance and we did a jazz routine that Sarah, who is Warren Carlyle's assistant, who's amazing, started teaching us. And everybody in that room was masked. So we are dancing our faces off in masks, sweating because of some of the humidity. But I want everybody to know who's listening to this, who maybe doesn't believe in masks or doesn't think or thinks it's hard to wear masks. We are dancing and wearing masks, and not one person's complaining. Not one person is refusing. We are in this together. And we start doing this dance routine, and it's a lot of directional changes. I haven't picked up been in a dance class or even trying to pick up a new combination in a while. So I'm not struggling, but not difficult dancing, but it was like a strong mover call. And we start dancing in threes and it was just really fun. What a really fun, great dance combination and great choreography. Then Warren asks us to put our tap shoes on. So we put our tap shoes on and we start doing, again, not difficult tap, just tap that is very basic. But it's just so much fun. So much fun, just really great rhythms and syncopation. And we start doing that and we start tap dancing in threes. And Warren had me tap with my friend Stephanie, and he goosed the tempo a little bit because he was there, and or I was in front of him, and he was just pushing me a little bit, which I thought was funny. But one of the things that was so funny and so bizarre to me was being in that room with those 15 girls. There was a few girls that came up to me and whispered in my ear, or in the waiting room when we were in the changing room that they have us in, the holding room is what they call it. A few girls said, "I can't believe I get to dance next to you." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And they said, "You're Meredith Patterson. You're Judy. You're Peggy." And I don't think anybody knows who I am, you guys. I really don't. And I really, you know, I was probably the oldest girl in that room by at least 10 years. And I'm not flattering myself, but I was like, hey, I look pretty good. Like, I feel like I look good. I don't look, my age. I feel like I look like I could be 35 with all these girls. But the fact that a few of them came up to me and said, "Oh, I know who you are. And oh my God, it's so good to see you, like to be dancing next to you." And it was so flattering and so, I guess affirming for me, because I just, all of the, you know, pounding the pavement and the work that I did in New York, it's been so long since I've been on Broadway and so long since I've been in that immediate community and dance rooms. I just don't feel like anybody remembers me. So it's nice to be remembered. It's always nice to have that nod, you know, tip your hat, because I would do the same thing to Karen Ziemba or, you know, all the people that I grew up admiring as dancers. So that was very nice. So after we danced, Warren did the thing that's always hard, which is making a cut. So he came over to all of us and said, "I love you all. You guys were amazing, but I have to cut it down to have people stay and sing and read with Jerry." So he made his cut, and there was only six of us. And I was one of them, and I was very happy about that. But, you know, it's always really hard to see people go home. It's always really hard to know that you work just as hard as they did, but they just, you know, it's a very specific track, is what Warren said. You know, Sutton, because she is a triple threat and she is a very strong mover, but she also tap dances. And this show is going to have tap in it. So that can be something that those of you guys who are actors and dancers and you want to be on Broadway, having tap in your back pocket, I got to tell you, is something that will cut out a lot of the competition. So I was happy that I got to stay and sing. So we started de-sweating ourselves and getting into our dresses and changing. And, you know, it was just six of us. So that felt really good. I'm like, in the Broadway world, in the Broadway community, to be one of six that's being considered to understudy a huge starring role opposite Hugh Jackman is so flattering. And I just, right there, I was like, you know what? I'm in the mix again. I feel so happy that I am being considered for this again. Like, I'm still here. And my dear, I'm still here. If you know that song, I really did feel so grateful. And I was one of the last to go, which is, as Jay Binder, the amazing casting director, told me, is a really good position to be in. So when they give you your order of why you go in, or your order of when you go into the room to sing and read, if you are towards the end, I have been told by Jay, and I've been told by other people, that it's a really good position because that means that they are really considering you. So I was second to last, and I went in and I had my mask on. I took it off. I I sang My White Knight 16 bars, which if you want to hear what I did, I posted it on my IGTV on my Instagram, Mayor Patterson. I sang that. And Jerry Zaks said, so wonderful, sing it again and really let go. Meaning he didn't want dynamics. He wanted me to be loud. And Warren Carlisle and I have been friends. So when I got the call back, I text him and I said, any nuggets of information that you want to give me, which means any, do you have anything that you want to tell me to bring, to do, to wear? And he said, Jerry likes strong women who are loud. So I said, okay, no problem. So I did more of a dynamic, meaning building the song. It's only 16 bars of My White Knight. And it's what I did on my IGTV, where I did a little pullback at the end. It just gives it a little more emotion. But he said, let it rip. So I did it again, and I did it as loud as I could. And I was opera singer galore. And he said, yes, I love it. Then he had me read two scenes. And this is kind of what he was doing with everybody, because when you are in some of those old studios, the liveness or the echo in the room is, you can hear everybody. You can hear what everybody's doing. So I could hear what he was having everybody else do. Nobody was singing from their book. Everybody was singing My White Knight, doing a couple scenes, and then singing Till There Was You, 16 bars. So I did that, and I have to tell you, I rocked it. I felt so good. I performed it as if I was standing on a Broadway stage. I felt really, really connected. I wasn't nervous. Sometimes I get dry mouth because I get nervous. My stomach is in knots. I really am the type of performer who it's very rare that I'm not nervous. Okay. So I was not nervous. I was so proud of myself. And you can sort of see when the table is nodding and looking at each other. You're never singing directly into anybody's eyes, by the way. You're always singing right above their head. And so I wasn't looking at anybody, but I was sensing the room. And the room was very happy. The room was very, it just was a very good energy. I finished and Jerry said, thank you so much for coming in. That was wonderful. And I left and I called my husband immediately and just beamed to him about how I felt I did. I called my manager and I said, I did the best I could do. I really feel like I did my absolute best and the rest isn't up to me. And that was it. And I walked home and I was kind of a little bit on air, but I also was in the back of my mind thinking, if I was to book this, this was the 25th of October. They wanted me to start rehearsals on the 28th, which was Thursday. I would have to somehow move my entire life. My children would have to either come with me, or my sister was going to come to Montana and watch them for a couple months while my husband was on tour. So my children would lose their two parents for 2 months, and it would be a whirlwind to try to find a place to live. But my husband and I were already talking about all of this potential stuff, because of course I would do this job, but we would have to somehow figure out how we would do this. And that is the part that the 9-to-5ers, the people who aren't in this industry, go, oh my God, how are you going to do that? But this is what we do. This is sometimes what we have to do. So we were putting feelers out there like, hey, does anybody have an apartment available? Does anybody have, you know, and we were like, maybe we'll have to pay double rent. This is the kind of craziness that we would have to do, because I would probably have to be a local hire for Broadway, even though it's Broadway. Broadway isn't, you know, making bazillions of dollars, and the producers don't want to, you know, pay for you to fly you out and put you up and all that stuff. It's very expensive. So all these things are swirling in my head. How would I do this if I actually got this? How would we do this? And I got a call. I went back to the hotel. I took a shower because I was super sweaty and gross. And when I was in the shower, my manager called me. And I could just tell from the message, he just said, give me a call back as soon as you get this. And that's exactly his tone. and I knew I didn't get it. And I kind of was relieved. Of course, I was sad because I'm losing money. I wasn't picked. Rejection is always hard. But I got on the phone with my manager and he was like, you know, they just said you did an amazing job. They love you. They just went another way. And that was the feedback I got. And I didn't really ask for more because I know I did my best. I know I did everything I could do. And the rest of it isn't up to me. So I listened, we talked, and I just was like, okay, I'm going to go have a good rest of the day. I might take a nap. I met my one of my best friends, Debbie, who lives on 57th Street. I met her for some Prosecco on her balcony. I met her friend Kim. Then I went to dinner with my manager and met him face to face for the first time, which is hilarious. We had dinner. We had an amazing dinner. And I just enjoyed myself. And I went home with the relaxation that I didn't have to figure this out. Now, the sad thing is that I was supposed to be in Rocky Horror this weekend. I was cast in that show and I was getting paid a good amount of money to do that. And I lost all that money because I had them replace me because I said, this is insane. You guys have to replace me because I could potentially be getting the show. So I actually ended up losing almost $2,000 with paying for my flight, paying for hotels, paying for food, and then my gig fee for doing Rocky Horror. So if you're thinking about being an actor and you get these huge opportunities, you have to, you know, you're an entrepreneur. You are the head of your company. You have to make choices like that where you go, I'm going to lose about $2,000. But this is worth it because this is a risk. This is a gamble. This is what I'm doing. This is the life, guys. And I'm 25 years in to this life. And I'm still making those investments in myself. You know, I wrote my book and I wrote it all by myself, meaning I paid for everything. And it cost me about $5,000 to pay my editor and pay my designer. And that's not even including the time that I took to do it. You know, this is what we do. If you are going to be in this industry, you're going to be investing in yourself and investing in your business. And you have to make those big decisions. I could have said no. I could have said, you know what? No, this isn't going to be for me. I can't lose my gig fee for Rocky Horror. I can't do that. I can't. But I decided I'm going to take the risk. And I'm really glad I did, even though I didn't book it. I'm really glad I did because this show is going to be a hit. Mark my words. This show is going to be a hit. Sutton is not going to stay in it for the entire, it could be on Broadway for 5 years. Who knows? She's not going to stay in it for that whole time. She's got stuff to do. She's got Tonys to win and her TV show to go back on. And she just came out with a book and all these things. And I could still be in the mix. And that's a big job. It's a $150,000 job. So, you know, and I don't even know where my career will be in a couple of years or even in a year. You guys, if anything, we have learned that life is not certain. Take risks, do what you love, be passionate, you know, grab the bull by the horns, as my dad used to say, and just go for it. And that's what I did. And I'm so very proud of myself. And that's the episode, guys. Thanks for hanging on through the whole story. And if you have any questions or you want to make comments, please DM me on Instagram. You know, I'm going to be going live sometime this week. Be sure to check out my stories on there, check out my posts, and find out when I'm going live. If you haven't read my book yet, I have hard copies available now on Amazon. And I also am going to be having my Audible available by Christmas. I would love for you guys to, you know, if you want an autographed copy, DM me, ask me how you can get one. And I'm going to start writing book 2. So get caught up because it's all going to be coming out within the next 2 years. My books are going to be on, you know, I'm planning on shopping myself to an actual publisher at some point. I haven't done that yet. So if you're wondering why it's not in bookstores, it's because I haven't shopped myself yet. I'm slow rolling it, everybody. But your reviews on Amazon, your love and support from buying my book, your word of mouth, all of these things really help me be successful. That is the way that you guys can support me, and I really appreciate all of it because I've been just wowed by you so much in this past month. So thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for supporting me. And as always, you know, have vision for what you want and be grateful for where you are every single day. Sending you love.